Hi, I'm Nick.
And I'm Josh.
And this is the One Word Podcast. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to an episode of the One Word Podcast, episode 2 of season 3, where we have a guest, Jeff Kokenauer, on. I was not able to be on this one, but Josh had a conversation with him. Josh, who are we interviewing today?
Hey, we're so excited to have Jeff Kokenauer on the podcast today to talk about backseat leadership. If you didn't know, Jeff Kokenauer, along with his co-host Brad Merchant, which are both based in Indiana, have their own podcast called the Backseat Leader Podcast. So we are so pumped to have Jeff on today. He serves as a youth pastor at Hope Missionary Church in Bluffton, Indiana. And we are so excited for him to share his expertise with us today on backseat leadership. Hey everyone, we are here on the One Word Podcast and we have a very special guest today. We have Jeff Kokenauer from joining us from Indiana. Come on, how is it in Indiana right now, Jeff?
Freezing. No, it's not freezing. It's actually above freezing right now, which is good because it was not above freezing last week. But otherwise, it's great. It's great.
Good, good. You guys have had a rough stretch there of freezing weather. That can't be fun.
I've never seen so much snow on the ground for as long as it's been, and I'm getting to be 35 in April. So it's been a lot.
That does not sound fun. Oh man. So sorry, you might be able to see the sunshine behind me here in Florida.
But I'll be down there in a month. I'm good. I'm ready to go.
We're good. Well, Jeff is he has his own podcast called the Backseat Leader Podcast. And I am just so excited to have Jeff on here today because that is a topic that is not talked about enough. We don't have enough coverage on it today. So Jeff, man, I appreciate your heart for it, but man, tell us what made you passionate about backseat leadership. But before that, go ahead and tell everyone who you are and what you do. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
Sure. Oh, you're good. Yeah. So, like I said, a youth pastor high school students and work with leaders to minister to high school students in our community. We live in Bluffton, which is just south of the bustling metropolis of Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you don't know, it's Indianapolis and then just a bit northeast from there. Pastor high school students, I've been a youth pastor for 13 going on 14 years. I've been working at the current church I work at, Hope Missionary Church in Bluffton, for just over 7 years. Pretty excited about that. Married for 2.5 years. Got married a little bit later than everybody else, and loves the time that I get to spend with my wife and the adventures we go on. So that's kind of, I guess, me in a little bit of a nutshell. I love leaders. I love developing leaders and working with guys and gals who want to get better at leadership. I'm not saying I'm great. I'm saying I'm learning too. So that's kind of the impetus for the Backseat Leadership Podcast, is the desire to help folks who are in the backseat of their organizations be content, thrive, and have conversations about the tensions and the topics that we find backseat leaders deal with on a regular basis. That's honestly why we're so passionate about it. And we find ourselves recognizing that a lot of leadership material that's out there is geared for the first chair. It's geared for the front seat leader or how to get to be the front seat leader. There's a lot that can be said about taking steps to become the front seat leader, if that's what you're wired for. But there's a whole lot more, I think, to be said about being content in not being in the front seat.
That's awesome, Jeff. And I just want to share with our audience real quick that a lot of people say that they love leadership, but you're someone who doesn't just say that, you live it. I remember the first time I got to meet you, I was a freshman at Taylor University. My roommate was Alex Hunter, who's a part of your church at Hope, who went through your ministry. We went home to visit his family for the weekend, and they were gracious to host me. The Hunter family is awesome. And Alex said, hey, I got to take you by to meet my youth pastor, because he knew that I was interested in youth ministry one day and felt a calling for that. And the first time I met you, man, you had us into your office. You told us to sit down. You stopped and talked with us and genuinely asked how we were doing. And you didn't leave us empty handed either. You left us with a book from Andy Stanley. So, man, I'm grateful for you, Jeff. And you don't just say it, you live it. So that's for the audience out there to hear that this is a guy that's living leadership And man, thanks for sharing a little bit about the heart behind Backseat Leadership. You and Brad host that podcast. And one of my favorite episodes that I was actually just re-listening to is how to lead up, how to lead upward. Mm-hmm. And that's a great episode. And so we're going to give all of our listeners the info at the end and in our show notes so that they can go ahead and listen to your podcast. But man, go ahead and share with our audience some of the principles that you and Brad talk about for backseat leadership.
Yeah, you know, it's tricky because you go, well, you can listen to all kinds of leadership stuff, but what makes it about the backseat leadership? What makes backseat leadership so important, or you know, why do we want to thrive there? One of the things that we have found is that backseat leaders are driven. They're driven. They have all kinds of energy, and the fact is that backseat leaders can be and often are the driving force behind an organization. The people who find themselves not in the front seat often have to do what someone else tells them to do, and they have to try and accomplish someone else's goals and fit inside somebody else's vision while they have their own for themselves. And so, you know, we love to just dream about some of the conversations that are going on after the podcast. What did we say that caused people to talk about something else? But you know, when it comes to the principles that we really try to reengage and talk about a lot, is having, you know, as a backseat leader, having a trajectory for your life. So having a trajectory for what it is to be a backseat leader. I think every single leader, whether they sit in the front seat, the back seat, the second seat, the third seat, or in the back by the engine of the bus. I drive buses every once in a while, so I know where they are. Whatever seat you find yourself in, you've got to have a vision for what your role is supposed to look like. If you can't find yourself, handles for what it looks like to move forward in the seat you're in, it's going to be really, really difficult to be a backseat leader. And so we talk about that a couple times in our podcast. But when it comes to leading where you're at, is one, recognizing why you're in the seat you're in. And so having a trajectory, I like to come up with like a vision statement. For every leader I work with, I try to get them to come up with like a core value mission statement. And that mission statement doesn't just, the goal is to not be just for the seat they're in, but for the passions and the burdens and the things that they find themselves desiring to be about in the future, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. So having that vision for who you are and the role that you're supposed to play, I think is critical. And we talk about, knowing why you're in the back seat all the time, and knowing what seat you're in, recognizing the seat you're in, and then playing around with that. So having an idea of who you are and what you're about, even in the back seat, having a vision for your life and your work is critical. So that'd be the first principle. The second principle I talk about when it comes to being a great or a healthy backseat leader is knowing, like, how do I fit inside the vision for the bus or the train or whatever illustration you want to use for the organization that I work with? How do I fit what I'm driving towards, the things that I'm passionate about, inside of, what my front seat leader is trying to accomplish? The most healthy backseat leaders know how to assist, how to help, how to move the organization forward from a seat that they're in. And so, you might have a driven, real dominant, type 8 on the Enneagram, kind of individual who maybe is a D on the DISC profile, who has a lot of ideas and passions. I'm circling my face for the people who are listening online. You might be super driven and want to move, some moments you're like, oh, I could be the front seat leader, but other moments you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. It's okay to be driven. It's okay to want to move the thing forward from the seat you're in. But the question is the efforts that you're, putting forth, the things that you're doing, the ideas you're coming up with, are they helpful to the organization or not? And I think what's critical for backseat leaders is that not everything you are passionate about has to happen inside your vocation, right? So I'm not a podcaster, right? It's not my vocation. I work with high school students and leaders. But one of the things I'm passionate about is just backseat leadership. And so I do that on the side. I do that on Fridays when I'm not working at the church. I do some of that stuff. I write every once in a while. And so, helping understand you can be driven all you want. Just make sure that you're driven in the way that's going to help the organization move forward and be a good team player. The last thing that you know I think is critical for backseat leaders, and I can't overstate this, is learning how to have healthy rhythms that keep you healthy, keep you restful. You guys were talking about this not long ago on the One Word podcast about, you know, rest and being, you know, having those moments where you stop and you're not running, and I think that's critical for backseat leaders. It's, you know, no one cares about your calendar more than you should. Nobody's going to care what your schedule has to look like. They're going to keep giving you assignments. They're going to keep giving you things to do because if you're a leader, you're driven and you have things you want to accomplish. And so the front seat leader hands down some of these things, and how you maintain accomplishing those things and taking time for yourself for rest. You're interviewing me on a day that I'm not working at the church. So I don't do things on my day off that, are going to A, stress me out. For work reasons. Now, if you know, family stuff, you know, I got to work on the honey-do list today. I got those things to take care of. But I'm not gonna, when it's not snow on the ground, I'm gonna go play golf. I'm gonna go do that. I'm gonna go, for a bike ride. I haven't done that in 3 years. But anyway, I'm gonna do some things that are gonna get me out of, the regular rhythm. So I think those are three critical things. The backseat leaders need to think about, if I was to sum up, things into three. Obviously, there are so many things based on, different seasons that we're in. We've been talking about the coronavirus like crazy, not because we want to, but because I don't think we can overstate the effect of that thing on leaders in general and the way in which you have to, move and change and pivot, all those type of things. I think those three things, having a vision for your life, being okay, being driven in the backseat, and then making sure you find time to rest in the backseat, critical things to backseat leadership.
Jeff, that's huge. Thanks so much for sharing that. I want to follow up with your first one. I think your first point is huge, right? And so with the vision that you have personally, and that I think that's huge in helping you to keep going every day, to stay focused. And that's a lot of the things we like to talk about at One Word. How do we simplify our focus on who we're becoming, on the next steps that we're taking? And so I want to ask you, how would you break that down? I don't know if you want to give a percentage or what, but how much of that vision should be given to you from the leaders that are above you? And how much of that should be personalized and you coming up with that?
That's a great question. And I would probably make the argument, I don't think any of it should come from, maybe I wouldn't say any. I think very little should come from your leaders of the organization. And here's why I say that. If those people are mentors of you, if those people are like pastoral in your world, if they're spiritual directors in your world, that's one thing. If it's just, if their outlook is for the organization primarily, when I talk about a vision for you, I'm not talking about just your position in the organization. What I'm talking about is you as a human being and the things that God has wired you for, the personality He's given you, the passions and burdens, right? So, for example, about 3 years ago, I started really working down, and I was 31. Why do I have to think about how old I was 3 years ago? That's just, when I turned 30, I read a book called The Self-Aware Leader by Terry Linhart. It's a phenomenal book. I'd recommend it to everybody. And as I'm walking through it, he talked about, having an awareness of who you are and where you're going. Talked about some counseling, which I think is incredibly helpful for people when they even, you may not feel like you're imbalanced at all. When you get to 30, your mindset changes. And so having someone who can help me sort those things out. Well, about that same time, I really started to get focused on, okay, what am I going to be? I'm 35 in April of this year. Youth ministry for 35-year-olds isn't necessarily something that's at the top of the list, right? We're not exactly always seen as the best possible candidate for youth ministry because they want to hire some 22-year-old out of college because they got all the energy, right? That's true. That's true.
Okay, but you're beating the odds, Jeff, right? What is it, the average youth pastor lifespan? Come on. You're still going strong.
And honestly, that's part of the reason why I started to wrestle through this is because I started to go, okay, And if I'm not going to be a youth pastor, if I am going to be a youth pastor, how am I going to do this and still feel contented in the role that I'm in? And so I just started coming up with a phrase. And I started by coming up with some words that I thought were super important to me. And long story short, I ended up with authentic Jeff Kochenour. My purpose is to authentically lead and empower others to flourishing life in Christ. That's what my role. So authentically leading and empowering others to flourishing life in Christ.
Wow.
For me, those things, those key words, authentically leading, empowering, flourishing, those are huge things for me, you know, and why I do what I do. It's why I meet with the people I meet with. It's why I say yes to the certain things that I say yes to, or all the things I say yes to. It's why I say no to things. It's why I would say no to different jobs. You know, if I can't do those things, I'm not going to be contented in what I'm doing. So I'm not going to go take a job at the factory down the street packing boxes for, you know, like I did in college, because that was what I did. You know, so for me, that phrase informs so much about what I do. And I think it's critical for leaders to have something like that. They don't have to have that phrase. They don't have to be able to rattle it off. But I think having a vision for what it is that God wants to do in your life and through your life is critically important for informing those things. I talk about there's a framework that I use to help people recognize maybe some of the ways that we try to come up with our identity and our purpose by answering questions that aren't necessarily helpful. For example, what am I supposed to do? That's a thing that college students ask all the time when they're getting ready to graduate from college, or high school students ask when they're trying to say, oh, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Is that the best question to inform, you know, what it is they go find themselves doing? Who do I want to be with? Well, we do that all the time, especially when we're getting to the end of college and all of a sudden all these potential spouses aren't going to be around anymore.
And ring by spring.
exactly. And so, you know, how do we handle, you know, we inform our identity by who we want to be with. And then we hook up with this, you know, this couple becomes this identity is found in who we're with, and we lose sight of who we are. So those are just a couple things. I don't want to take ton of time, but like those are. That for me is why that vision statement is huge for guiding your life and having a good trajectory. So I think I've talked a lot. To answer your question, I would find mentors and people who are informed of your life who can help you answer that question.
That's really powerful, Jeff. And thanks for bringing clarity to that this isn't specific to your current role or position on the bus or whatever illustration we want to use, but that this is your life mission, your life vision statement. And so if you're not in youth ministry in 5 years, hey, you might still be able to fulfill that life vision that God has given you, the things that he has made you passionate about. That's really cool, Jeff. Thanks for sharing that. Hey, let's just keep moving 1 through 3 for number two. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question, is how long do we stay in a seat that we don't feel like we're meant to be in? Right. So especially thinking about those young leaders out there, they've just graduated college. It's their first time in the world. And a lot of times the first position that we get, the first thing that we're hired for, isn't ultimately where we want to be. So how long do we stay there? How long are we content with that? And what kind of conversations do we have with people to make sure that we're in the right seat?
That's a great question. And I honestly, I don't know if I have a good metric for knowing that, except to say this: stay longer. And the problem here's here, if I can be really frank, what I see is a lot of students, people who graduate from college, go get that first job and it's not the dream job. Guess what? It never was going to be. Nobody starts out in their dream job. You have to find your way to the dream job. And whether that's inside the same organization you start with or a different organization, the reality is, you're going to change. The organization is going to change. What you're passionate about, you're going to discover more and more. I mean, come on, we know the brain doesn't fully form until 27, 28, 29 years old now, which means you're changing, right? People are changing until that place. And so I would make the argument that even when it feels like you can't stay, that perhaps there's some things to learn by staying just a little bit longer. I think people jump too quick anymore. When things aren't smooth, we think it's wrong, and that's not how it's supposed to work. When things aren't perfect, we think we got to get out, and that's just not it. Like, there is going to be some hard things, and you can learn from them. That's why I think you could stay a little bit longer. But as far as knowing, okay, I can't do this anymore. if you find yourself, like unfulfilled, you don't have a vision for the position you're in anymore. It doesn't fit into who you are. You know, if you weren't a believer and you became a believer and the job you've got isn't going to work out anymore for being a believer. You know, I think those are some metrics to think about. I think this is why that vision statement for yourself is critical, because it can inform, okay, maybe you've got a job right now and you don't have a vision. You didn't have a vision statement for your life coming in, and now you create one and you really wrestle it out. And can I just say this? It doesn't take 20 minutes to come up with a vision statement. It takes 2 years.
Right.
It takes time. You know right. what I mean? Like, it takes time and investment. But you come to the place where you have that. And now you say, okay, what I'm doing right now, I cannot do all the things that I think the Lord's brought me to do by staying in this thing. And then it's time to go. It's time to go. But I think you stay long enough to know for sure that's the case. It's interesting. When my grandparents graduated from high school, it was assumed they were going to have three careers in their lifetime, which means different positions, of course, across the time of their working life. When you graduated from college, Josh, you were expected to have around 21 different positions in your career. Wow. That's huge. Over the course of 50 years, we've moved from an average of 3 jobs per lifetime to 21. Wow. And that's whether that's because of, leadership principles we could talk about, where people are staying in jobs longer, so the ceiling isn't as high. We could talk about that. We could talk about how things get difficult and we just jump ship because we just don't like it, or because there's more money at different places, all those type of things. Mm-hmm. But those are realities we have to face. And I think it'd be helpful for more people, in younger people who are getting into positions, to stay a little bit longer, learn something in the pressure. And then, once you get to the place where I can't do this anymore, and it's absolutely, I think you go through the hard season to get to the good stuff.
That's good. Jeff, thanks for sharing that. And I think that's a great lead in to question number 3 and evaluating our rest, right? Because I think Craig Rochelle said this the other day, the grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. So I think that maybe part of the problem with the 21 jobs is that we just think that it's the job that's creating the stress. It's the job that's creating the anxiety. And really, we haven't created rhythms, like you said, and we haven't created a rhythm of rest and Sabbath for our own souls and our own spirits to be rejuvenated, to keep doing the work that we are called to do. And so going to number 3, rest and rejuvenation, thanks for what you shared about that. But I'll share, I guess, first here is, I came out of college and I did not have a good rhythm of rest. Mm. My whole life leading up to graduation, I played baseball. And so baseball could be different every week. And it was every day we're practicing, we're training. I did not have a built-in Sabbath. And, Jeff, we can joke about it all the time in the church, right? It's the one commandment that no one keeps, right? Keeping the Sabbath. In a serious note, it's so crucial for the health of our souls and for the health of our beings. And so, man, one of my first experiences in my role post-college was I didn't feel that it was the place for me long-term. But like you said, I stuck it out for a while. I stayed longer than I would have liked. But the biggest thing that I learned there that I'm so grateful for from the leaders that I was under, I would always ask for feedback on how I could improve. And the number one thing they said was, Josh, you need to have a Sabbath. You need to have a weekly rhythm. Right. I had the daily rhythms down of communing with the Lord and being in the Word, and had the yearly rhythms of retreat. Right. But I lacked the weekly rhythm of Sabbath and having a day that was dedicated to do things that were life giving. I love, Jeff, that you talked about how, hey, today's Friday. It's your off day. You're not worrying about work. If it wasn't snow on the ground, you'd be out golfing. You're enjoying the podcast. You're doing something that you're passionate about that fits into your vision statement, and it's life giving for you. So, man, talk to our listeners, expand kind of on that idea of rest and how that plays out for you in your life.
Yeah, really practically, if you work Monday through Friday and Saturday's your day off, shut your email off. You don't need to be, it literally does not need to be on. I got to confess, today I've responded to 2 emails for work, but so I'm a violator of my own principles. But seriously, I think that it's incredibly critical that's the case. These smartphones we've got, are great because they get things done. They help us stay in communication with people until we don't need to. The do not disturb feature on your phone is an amazing thing. And it should be a useful thing. It should be programmed in. Even as a youth pastor, my phone, You can't get a hold of me after 10 o'clock unless you do the whole, you know, I'm going to call twice within 3 minutes thing. So, you know, I'm not going to be your guy who is going to pick up the phone unless the Lord does something significant, which he might. Maybe he breaks my phone. I don't know. I'm good with that, I guess. You know, the story of the youth pastor getting the call of the kid who's drunk, you know, I may not be that guy. But part of the thing is like, you say that sounds crass. First of all, it's an anecdotal illustration. So just to be clear for your listeners who think I'm just a terrible youth pastor, it doesn't happen all that often. but the second part is like, you know, there's a part of this that you've got to take care of yourself. And so, you know, if you're a reader, my buddy Brad, who does the podcast with, he's a huge reader. He's got libraries of books, both in his office and his home office. He loves reading. So that's what he does. And he finds himself reading on his day off. Maybe not so much about like what he's preaching on Sunday, but he's reading stuff, leadership and other things. You know, if you're a podcast listener, you love listening to podcasts and you find yourself, you know, that's rejuvenating to you. Do that. I think the thing is you have to know yourself and you have to prioritize yourself for the sake of everybody else. That sounds so selfish, but the reality is Jesus was, that's what Jesus did when he went up to the mountain, as he said, all right, everybody, not everybody can get up here. So I'm going up here and I'm going to rest and be with my Father. You're no better than Jesus. So stop thinking that you are and stop working like you think you can, you know, like, and if I can be really frank, I think there's an arrogance to not taking a day off. I think there's an arrogance to, oh, I can get this done. If I just work harder, I'll get further. I'll do more, you know, and you're right. You probably will. That's great. But you ain't taking a U-Haul with you when you go to the grave. And so, you know, if you miss out on the things of if the people of your family, you know, I love my buddy Doug Fields, I think said this, and Andy Stanley said something similar too. Your kids can't have a different dad.
Wow.
You know, and I don't have any kids, but my wife can't, she's not getting a different husband. But I can be replaced in my job. I can find a different job. You know, going back to number two, if you can't get rest, if your boss, if your front seat leader won't give you, or the back seat leader in front of you won't give you that time away, man, I think that's probably a reason to get out of there. You know, it, because again, you're a child of the King. You know, you operate a different set of rules. Not that you don't honor those rules, but you operate with a necessary set of expectations that aren't just to put you into a set of, you know, a box, but to help you flourish. Mm. And so, you know, you're never going to experience the fullness of what God wants for you if you're constantly working. It's just not going to happen.
Jeff, that's so good, man. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love your heart for that, and that's huge. Thank you so much. Hey, so kind of along those same lines, if you could talk to one struggling backseat leader right now, what would you share with that person?
Obviously, first, I want to get to another story. But the thing I would say is that, you know, even when it's tough, it doesn't mean that it's over. I think sometimes we get to the place where, you know, the front seat leader, or the backseat leader in front of me is just, you know, not doing things well. There's a thing about being a believer in Jesus that we get this ability, we get this opportunity to trust the creator of the universe, to take care of the things that are most pressing on us. And there's all kinds of reminders in the New Testament where Jesus is teaching his disciples and he says, look, I'm going to take care of you. Look, I'm going to send you a mission and I'm going to give you all the power you need. Look, I'm not going to be far from you. Every moment you're going to be doing things. You go into the Pauline epistles. I mean, look at Romans, and Paul is like, look, what else should we say about all these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? Why would we think that it's over? And so, you know, I think trusting God's plan, trusting God's provision, and trusting God's purpose that he's placed in your life, that he will work those things out, even if it's hard right now, even if you're struggling right now, he will work those things out. But part of that too is that also backseat leaders, it's okay to get help. It's okay to get help. It's okay to say, hey, I can't get this done on my own. I need some help. Maybe it's counseling, maybe it's friends, maybe it's a community, but getting that help, I think those are two things I'd say. So maybe not one piece, but two. A one and a 1B the other day.
I love it. That's good stuff, Jeff. Thanks for sharing that. I hope that someone out there finds that encouraging, right? Because there's a whole host of reasons that we could be struggling, that we could feel discouraged. And a lot of times that's the work of the enemy, if the enemy can't defeat us, he just wants to distract us or discourage us. So thanks for sharing that encouragement with those people out there. Hey, so Jeff, I want to just ask you as we close here, what are some of your favorite episodes from the Backseat Leader podcast that you would share with our audience? I think I already shared my favorite one is leading up from the backseat, but you guys have some great episodes. You talk about some personal things, some of your mistakes. You guys talk about goal setting. So share some of your favorite episodes with our audience.
Well, I can tell you what my not favorite episode was, and that was when Brad made me talk about all my mistakes. So that was all his idea. And like, it's so funny when we go to lunch every once in a while, he'll just come in and drop a bomb kind of question. And I'm like, why am I friends with you? I don't know why, you know, like I just want to eat wings and watch sports. And you want to talk about series. Anyway, some of my favorite episodes, probably one of my favorites, I didn't know this was necessarily happening until like the week before, but we had our wives on about some different things. That was a fun episode. Ironically, the day we recorded that, we recorded a couple other episodes that day, and that was the day that the president came out. It was about a year ago, and was started to talk about this coronavirus thing. And like, there was some intel that we were getting. Intel. I sound like I work at the White House. we're getting some information.
Part-time youth ministry, part-time intel for the White House.
That's right. I'm on the NSA. But we're starting to hear that potentially we're going to start locking things down from some folks, and so that was rather interesting. But that was a fun one. And then, honestly, my favorite episodes are when we talk about. Maybe more some of the more difficult things. So like leading sideways is one of those things that is really difficult to navigate, especially in organizations that have really ironclad like organizational charts. But discussing some of those things and how we do that. And maybe my favorite episode ever was probably when we were just discussing some of the effects of COVID and really just kind of talking. We do a lot of work to prepare and have resources and things like that, but it was just kind of a conversation. It was really fun just to do that. We're looking forward, honestly, we've got some interviews coming up and some Q&A live episodes coming up, and I'm pretty excited about some of those things too. So
that's awesome, Jeff. Well, we're cheering you on, man, on behalf of Nick and myself from the One Word Podcast. We're cheering you on. We're pumped for you. And Jeff, where can everyone find you? We're going to put all this stuff in the show notes and the description, but where can everyone find you to engage with more of you and your content?
Sure. So me personally, I have a website called PastorJeff.com. And if you're thinking you're going to spell Jeff the way that, you know, all you Americans, as if I'm not one.
It's Geoff, not Jeff.
Exactly right. So Pastor Jeff, the English way, the Scottish way, I suppose, or maybe it's German. We're not real sure. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So PastorJeff.com is my website. You can get me on all the Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Jeff Kochenour. But then our podcast, you know, at Backseat Leader, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then our website's backseatleadershippodcast.com. Backseatleadership.com. That's what it is. We'd love to be a part of that. But honestly, Josh, we are big fans of you guys as well. We think you guys are doing a great job with the One Word brand and the One Word podcast. It's just been super fun to watch you, especially, and Nick, as you guys start to develop what this thing looks like. And I think it's helpful when we simplify things down. I mean, that's where really the secret sauce is. Clarity comes from simplicity. And so often we just make things so complicated. So I can definitely appreciate the work you guys are doing. That, like I said, we're cheering you on and we hope you're doing well. And if you got listeners who have never interacted with you before, man, they really need to start actually asking questions and saying, hey, y'all should talk about this word, that's what they should do. You should just start sneaking words in is what they should do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what they should do.
I love it. Well, thanks for the encouraging words, Jeff. And Jeff, thanks so much for joining us today. You focus on the word lead and specifically backseat leadership, this was so valuable for me. So I know it'll be very valuable for a lot of our listeners. So Jeff, thanks so much for joining me today on the One Word Podcast.
You bet. Thanks a lot, man.
Man, what a privilege to have Jeff Kochenour on the One Word Podcast with us, talking about backseat leaders and some principles that we can all take into our lives as backseat leaders. And we are excited for what's coming up with season 3. Next week, we have got Josh and I on with an episode about leading yourself. So make sure you tune into that, share it with a friend. If you enjoy this podcast, post it on social media, give us a rating, a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We love it and it means so much to us. Hey, we love you guys. We're excited to continue this journey of leadership with you, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.